like they say, nothing good ever lasts. We'll go on now and kiss it goodbye, but hold on to your lover, cause your heart's bound to die. Go on now and say goodbye to our town, to our town. Can't you see the sun setting down on our town, on our town?
See, I got a problem with that. I kind of was enjoying that and I don't want it to stop, but but we must momentarily. It's a sense of place, and writer Alice Bishop has joined us. Alice has a new book out and about. It's a collection of stories called A Constant Hum, and that was inspired by the Black Saturday bushfires. Well, it burned down her family's Christmas Hills home. Alice, welcome.
Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for having me.
Let's begin with the music.
Sure.
What did we hear?
So that was Iris Dement, and obviously the connection to that song with the facts that you just mentioned is kind of her
Our Town.
Our Town. And for me, I chose that song for a few reasons, one being obviously going back to the ridge where our house was on the 7th of February in 2009. Was a pretty life-changing experience, and seeing everything turn to ash and obliterated. And obliterated isn't a word I use lightly, I guess. Mm. And I think after that experience, I felt a real kind of longing to get back to place and back to home. And I think Iris's song, Our Town, kind of captures that really syrupy kind of sentimentality that I felt. And I think if I look back on my life and I think about the great loves of my life, I think I've been lucky. I'm 33. I've had about three, and two of those have been people, and one of those has been Christmas Hills, which is what I write about a lot.
So when that happens, you know, when a place is destroyed, a place that is home, does it still have a sense of itself, or is that utterly changed? Is it irrevocable, that moment?
That's really interesting. That's a really interesting question. I think part of the reason I wrote A Constant Hum was, as the book tracks the 10 years of the aftermath of Black Saturday, I really wanted to write myself back into place in a sense. And as a white Australian, I can't ever have the same connection to landscape as Indigenous Australians have had for tens and tens of thousands of years. But I mean, it's not comparable, but I still felt like someone had gone after Black Saturday. And I grew up in the bush out there in Christmas Hills, and it was a big part of who I have become, I think. And I think, you know, the bush out there will never be the same again in my lifetime, but it's beautiful in another way.
Could you have imagined before that how destructive fire could be?
No. Yeah. I think having quite a privileged and admittedly sheltered upbringing, I never thought I'd end up on the other side of the news. I think it's been very eye-opening to me with climate change on the horizon and a lot of people around the world not being able to get back to home, that natural disasters can have like long, long, long-term effects on people.
You sort of split your life between your home in the bush there and your home also in the city, which is a really interesting. I mean, is that an important thing in you to sort of straddle those two places to find a bit of yourself in both?
It is. I think I always feel that pull back to the kind of outer northeastern bush, and I love the city. I love Thornbury and Brunswick, and you know, culture and food and the nightlife and all of that kind of stuff. But I think I kind of have that pull back to Christmas Hills. It's kind of the only place I really feel like I can truly relax. And I think that seeing it disappear on Black Saturday really kind of reinforced what's that saying, you know, you don't know what you've got till it's gone. I realized how much of a part of me that part of the world has become.
It's interesting. You sort of grant almost a sense of victimhood to the landscape in these events. Whereas a lot of, I mean, and look, fire and country and the bush are such charged cultural notions in this country. But for a lot of people, you know, it is the landscape which is the aggressor in something like fire.
Sure.
you don't quite see it in that way, which is an interesting sense of empathy for it, I guess.
I guess so. I think white Australians, I know I've heard so many people talk about it before, is kind of othering the bush and seeing it as kind of some kind of untamable beast. But to me, you like this, that I grew up riding horses, and I think that I think you know, we never really had a horse float or anything, so I rode my horse through the bush from like 9 to 15, and I think having so much time in the landscape, and you know, of course there was livestock and roadkill and gravel roads and all of that stuff, really taught me a lot about the world, I guess. And I think I really value that time of being out there in landscape, and not to sound too woo-woo, but like being a part of it, not necessarily going out there to visit it.
You said, I mean, you said a couple of times, you know, speaking as a white Australian, as a post-colonial Australian, and yes, we as people don't have 60,000 years of connection to this place, but each of us has a life of connection to this place. It's as much as we can muster. I guess it's the way in which we perceive it that's important.
I think so, and I think acknowledging that's really important, but I think we do need to kind of look at the landscape as more of, not necessarily a person, but a living and breathing thing. And as I said, with climate change, it's such an important thing.
How did that feel? Can you take us to that day that you went back to your home?
Yeah. So I was 22 at the time, and I was working in a horrible job in fashion retail and in the city. And my mum called and said, you know, I think we're okay and the house is fine and there are no warnings in the area. And then my dad called 20 minutes later. They were separated, and dad said, oh, I think the house is gone. And he'd fled at the last minute and luckily found the car keys and driven down to the valley. And he'd seen the ridge of Christmas Hills light up. But because there was a real lack of communication within emergency services on the day, there was no solid information to know whether the house was still there or not. And so we only found out that the house, we thought it had gone, but we only found out that it had gone at about 10 a.m. on the Sunday morning when they cleared the roadblocks.
When you thought that your house was gone, was what did you fix on as in a sense of loss? What was the thing that came into your mind?
Photos, I think. For us and our family, it was our pets and our photos. I think maybe that would be a little bit different in 2019 where everything's digital. But it's a good lesson, digitize everything, friends. But it was photos for my mum, I think, of us as kids and our cat. And in saying that, how lucky are we that we're all still here and alive?
But it is such a lesson in what's important in life that people almost universally say that is the things that hold memory that are the things that I really regret losing, not the nice couch or the telly.
We did have a nice couch. It was tapestry red, and it was handed down through my grandparents. But it's funny, my parents have rebuilt on the block, and it's a much...
Was there any question in their mind about that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. The danger of fire happening again and the sadness of the long process it took and the bureaucracy. But we ended up going back because I guess it's just where our home is, and that's a different decision that people along the ridge made. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean it's the right decision, but it's the one we made.
And this is part of that cultural sense around fire. There are all sorts of expectations about how you deal with it at the time, how you respond to it afterwards.
A lot of judgment. I think that's kind of what I've tried to write through A Constant Hum too, is that one of the biggest stresses for my family and many people in the area was the judgment of what the decision was made. Was it to stay and defend? Was it to come back and rebuild, or to go and move to Alice Springs? And I think, you know, the community really banded together in so many ways, in so many beautiful ways. But on the other side, there were a lot of moments that were quite nasty. When people are really pushed to the edge, the best and the worst qualities come out, I think.
Alice, thank you. Thank you. Constant Hum is such a superb and lyrical record of a lot of those thoughts and that time and those moments.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Alice Bishop, Constant Hum is her book. You'll find that in shops. And Sense of Place and Alice's Place, Christmas Hills, out there on the Melbourne fringe.